Here, and ask Alex to take the roll.
Representatives, Chairman Sanford.
Here.
Bow.
Here.
Martinson.
Here.
Senators Kreisbach, Holmberg.
She's in Salem. Here.
Robinson.
Aye.
And members Bollinger.
Here.
Collins.
Here.
Dolan.
Here.
Shivers.
Here.
And Winiger.
Here.
Mr. Chairman, you have a quorum.
Thank you. Consideration of the minutes from the last meeting. We have a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Motion, a second. Discussion. All in favor signify by saying aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion carried. Well, at our first meeting, we had several suggestions around the discussion of ways that we might, things that we might look at. One of the suggestions was that my schedule was a little too short for committee members, and so I hadn't intended that we would meet today, but since so many of us were right here for this this particular meeting that'll start this afternoon, it made sense to put an additional meeting in. We will be meeting in September, and that will be...
Is that going to be the day before or the morning before?
It's up to you.
Okay.
We have a choice. We'll meet around the time that the budget committee is meeting in Bismarck. And so that'll be a meeting there. And so essentially, I guess what we'll be looking at will be something that will be almost on a monthly basis as we try to work through getting some of the basics done in the assignment that we have. So today, and part of the discussion at the last meeting was that it would be important to be talking about being updated on the progress that was being made by the institution representatives. And so today the agenda is going to focus on the work that has, some of it was suggested at the last meeting, and some of it has been part of the regular assignment that we asked Tammy Dolan and the institution reps to work on. So with that said, we'll go to the 1140 item presentation by Ms. Dolan.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So I've got three things to talk to you about today. At the last meeting, it was suggested by Senator Kreisbach that we do a survey of all the institutions to find out their good points, bad points, changes they might wish to see or have the committee, this committee, consider at some point related to the funding formula. So what you have in front of you is the full survey that was sent out to the institutions. We broke out each component separately and got their feedback. Within the full survey document that you have, you can see word for word what the institutions responded to the questions that were asked. And basically, we went through each component and asked, one, are you satisfied with this component, that it adequately meets your institution's needs? And if not, then please identify some reasons or maybe some potential solutions that this committee should be considering at some point. And so we did, as I mentioned, you can see the full responses in there, and we really just copied and pasted and put them in the documents. You can see that. We also did talk about creating a summary, which is also the very first page of the document that I sent out or that I handed out. And if you don't mind, I'd like to just go through that summary. That really highlights the issues by formula component as to what the institutions are thinking at this time. So I'm looking at, it's a front and back survey. It says funding formula survey results on the top of it. As for each form, I'll go through each formula component. So the first component is the actual completed credit hours. you'll see that 10 institutions answered that yes, they thought that it adequately met their needs. One identified that they weren't satisfied with it. And in the highlights section on the summary page, you'll see that one of the issues was that the formula does not cover program startup or expansion costs, which is true. We know that because it's based on actual credit hours produced in a prior biennium. And so, again, credits earned by those new programs aren't added into the formula until the next biennium. So that's it's a known issue with the problem or with the formula. And one of the things the legislature has done, especially this last biennium, is provide some one-time monies to help with program startup. This session, you provided $2.7 million, $1 million to BSC, $1 million to Dickinson, and $700,000 to Williston. And that is for expanding programs in their workforce need areas in their communities and regions. And so that's one thing that the legislature has done to address this issue in the past. But it is something we would ask that this committee talk about more as time goes on here. The other issue that was brought up related to the first formula component is that institutions do have to incur costs for those students who might withdraw partway through a year and not complete, but then they're not paid for those credits. And again, that was a basic, one of the basic components of the formula is that institutions are only paid for those credits that are successfully completed by the students. At the time of creation, it was an incentive really to work towards working with those students and seeing that they do complete. The second, go ahead.
I have a question on that, Tammy. The my recollection is that the purpose, one of the purposes of the formula is to encourage completion. And that to support that basic tenet of the formula, there have been these efforts by the institutions to retain. I mean, they've made some really exceptional efforts in terms of the counseling, the realities of what students are going through. And so I guess my question would be, are those initiatives working so that this becomes less of an issue?
Mr. Chairman, yes, you're exactly correct. And each institution does focus on those retention and completion efforts for their students. I mean, we do think that they are working. It still is an issue when it happens. But we hope to see that continues to be less of an issue in the future. And you'll see some statistics later on talking about some of our success rates in related areas to this at the next meeting this afternoon. The next component is the instructional program factor. And this is the weighting factor that the institutions receive for the types of courses that they have and the level of instruction. And so here you'll see that 8 institutions responded, yes, they were, that it adequately met their needs. We had 2 that said it didn't, and 1 was neutral on that. You can see the highlights on the side of what some of the comments were. One is that the SIP codes are based on academic discipline and not on cost. And that certain courses like cybersecurity or some GIS courses have a technical component, but because of the way they're organized at the national level and the way the SIP codes come to us, those courses fall into a core discipline cluster. And so those are weighted, they have lower weights than maybe the career and technical cluster. And so that is something that we would want this committee to talk about in the future. And part of what we know, and that's later on in the agenda, is that the institutions really feel strongly that we do need to do a cost analysis to determine if those weighting factors are still appropriate based on actual relative costs for today. And that is something that we are working on. Right now, we're trying, on the system level, we're trying to pull all those costs and organize them in a way that works for us. But that's something we'll have to go with the institutions and find out the best way to organize those costs and analyze those. That's something we'll have to work on more going forward and bring back to this committee for your review and approval. Another issue that came up when we were talking about those instructional program factor weights is that, as you know, online courses are becoming more and more prevalent, and there's a question of the costs of those online courses, particularly if they're developed by a third party. There's questions of whether or not those are less expensive when they're developed by a third party and more expensive when they're developed internally. There is a WICHE study that I believe was brought to this committee during the higher ed committee last interim that we talked about a bit when we were reviewing our responses, and that I think that would be something for this committee to see too. That nationally, it's a question. Does online cost more? Does online cost less? And the last WICHE study said they weren't really sure. About half the people thought it was more expensive and half the people thought it was less expensive. So that's something for this committee to talk about at a later date as well.
Tammy, just a comment on that. Russ Poulin is a former employee of the North Dakota higher ed system. Heads up the technology piece for WICHE. And we've had conversations with him. He was one of our presenters at the last interim committee 2 years ago. And we've had conversations, ongoing conversations with him. And just supporting what you said, getting the data to confirm actual cost seems to still be a challenge. And so he really doesn't have an answer. I've looked at studies that were done 5-6 years ago in Georgia and Florida, and they were helpful, but they didn't really define any real definitive answers to that particular question. And I think I was visiting with the president of Dickinson State this morning, and he commented that was a matter of meeting students where they are, that there is this motto, so to speak, of higher ed, anyone, any place, anytime, and that was part of the commitment. But yeah, you're right. This is an issue that we don't have an answer yet, but it certainly needs to be on the table as we go forward.
And it potentially could come out when we look at those costs too, but that's something for this committee to look at later when we have some numbers maybe. And then you'll see, as I mentioned, that the institutions feel that we need a more comprehensive and current cost study for those factors. And then there was some mention of the higher cost per credit that smaller institutions incur due to scale, and which leads right into the next formula component, which is the credit completion factor. And this is to address those efficiencies of scale. This is the based on the number of credits institutions complete. And you'll see that 8 institutions felt that this factor adequately met their needs. 3 did not. The comments that should be that the institutions would like this committee to look at is possibly consider smaller increments or smaller factor changes so that when their credits are going up or down, that there isn't such a large adjustment at one time to their rate factor. There was the sentiment that institutions are encouraged to grow to their top of their bucket, but then they have to plan to not cross that threshold until they're actually ready for that financial reduction, because their funding would be reduced at some point.
I have a question related to that. It's probably early from the work that your committee members have done. But we know that we have that issue, whereas you get to a certain level, it punishes you. And I think Valley City is the real-life example that we have. They awarded, had some success, rewarded more credits, and they take a reduction because of that. So I'm hopeful that in your discussions, you will provide us some options on that as well, because that, I don't think that ever was the intention of the original version, and it just became a reality. So that does need adjusting.
One of the other comments was an appreciation, really, for there is a delay that the legislature built in, so that band change, so to speak, does not occur. There's a one biennium delay. So that does allow the institutions to plan for their budget reductions. It gives them a little bit of time. But it does eventually happen. And so they need to make some adjustments there. And another thought was exploring the bands and maybe making the increments either larger or have smaller adjustments as well. So that's something we'll have to spend some time on. The next factor, formula component, was the institutional size factor. 9 of the 11 institutions indicated they were okay with this factor. 1 said they were not, and 1 was neutral on it. Wahpeton, of course, identified this is very critical to them. They are the one institution that is impacted by it right now due to larger instructional space. The next item I wanted to, that was pointed out by the institutions is that while it's true that there is more costs up front to build and maintain those labs and instructional space, the costs do quickly switch to staffing and consumables, and these are ongoing costs and continued increase in price. Another institution mentioned that we should potentially consider a cost of living factor to address some of the regional cost differentials. And that was the comment that was made. I don't know if that would be in lieu of or in addition to the current factors that are in place.
So I have a question for probably the two of you, because I think you were had direct involvement with the first go-around of building the formula. And my question relates to the space factor. It feels like an awkward piece of the formula because it is a single institution. And my question was, when you looked at, and let me back up, I also know that you've looked at the impact of that, and that Wahpeton has a significantly higher amount of space and just stands out amongst all the institutions in terms of the amount of space. But so my question is, what was the differential in terms of the differential for the payment for Wahpeton must have been significant in order to have to use this rather than just using the basic formula. And give us a background on that, because it's a singular piece. They don't get one thing, but they get this one in place.
That's one thing that I wanted to point out is if you receive the instructional program institutional size factor, you do not receive the credit completion factor. So it's an either or adjustment. When the formula was first created, you could receive both. And then that change was made by a legislature, I think one biennium after we implemented it. But that is in place now, so you can either receive one or the other and not both of those weighting factors. But perhaps Bruce could talk a little more about the origination.
Representative Sanford, we had looked at the square footage data for all the institutions, and State School of Science really stuck out. I mean, they were quite a bit higher. with that, and we started computing the costs that were associated with the additional square footage that was associated because of that. And then the committee members, we recognized that there was an increase in costs that were associated with the larger square footprint that they had. And so it was just a matter of recognizing the actual cost that NDSCS, that Wappington had, and applying a weight factor for that. But everybody else was within the band. They were the only one, they were the outlier. So that was the rationale for reimbursing them for their costs.
Representative Martinson.
Well, isn't it really a fact that the only way you could get Wappington up to the level where they wouldn't lose money was to put the square footage in there?
That wasn't the rationale. When we looked at the formula, we didn't actually start out looking at the dollar amounts at all.
Well, you had to, Mr. Chairman, because
right.
It was a hold harmless.
Yeah.
So you started at $1 and went down to a penny.
Yeah.
So you had to get to that dollar, and Wappington couldn't get to that dollar unless you put the square footage in there.
That we didn't approach, we had to get there. We got, it was a hold harmless. We had to make sure that everybody was hold harmless. But we did initially not want to have it driven by the dollar amounts and stuff. So we actually looked at the funding formula based on the actual costs of the institution. And so really, that factor was just driven by the square footage and the other costs that were associated with it. In the end, we had to kind of reconcile things up together, but it was just, they just have more square feet than everybody, and we just had to recognize that somewhere. But you're right, at the end, it was hold harmless. Everybody was, you know, we had to back into it in the end.
Mr. Bollinger, the space factor there that you were talking about, my record, was that on a per student basis? I can't remember what but the data I saw that they had a factor of 6, and the next highest was like a 1.5 or a 1.8 when it compared to the space needs.
I can't recall.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, you are correct. I don't know the exact numbers, but it was as high. It was 6, I think, even above 6, compared to the other institutions who were in the 2-3 range as far as that ratio goes. And the ratio is the total square footage divided by the weighted credits.
Yeah.
So that's how it's calculated. And theirs was much higher than everyone else.
And my recollection is that nobody else was at 2.
Yeah.
So.
So the next formula component is the base funding rate, and as you know, that's the rate that's adjusted and set by the legislature to determine the dollar appropriation. 7 of the institutions were said they were okay with the current base funding rate. 3 responded no, and 1 was neutral. And a summary of the points that were made, and they're really more questions for this committee to consider than anything, but we've got, for example, at BSC, there's some mission change going on, and they're moving to a polytechnic mission, which includes some 4-year and 2-year programs. And so the question was, should there be a separate rate for that category? Or do they continue to stay in the 2-year category? Do they move into the 4-year category? I mean, that's something that this committee will have to discuss going forward, because there are some changing missions going on. There was a request that the dollar base funding rate be adjusted for salaries and benefits, which has happened in the past legislative sessions. There was also a mention again of a potential cost of living adjustment. And then the question of delivering instructional modes related to actual costs was raised again here. And perhaps there could be weighting differences for face-to-face versus online. And again, that's just a question that would need a lot more work by this committee before any recommendations could be made. And then there was the issue of the payment rates for those credits earned by law enforcement officers that are receiving tuition waivers. That's in the law right now, and was mentioned that they shouldn't be reduced just because a student is receiving a waiver. The last component is the minimum...
On the salaries and benefits, those were incorporated into the rate change this last time. So my question to you would be, if everything was a perfect world and we just had this nice, steady, even economy each time, would that by itself be the initiative that would take care of the rate?
Mr. Chairman, the cost of a living adjustment or the salaries and benefits?
Yes.
Well, salaries and benefits is one component of that. There's also the other operational costs that continue to increase, and those haven't been built into the formula.
Okay.
So I think you'd need to look at how that cost of living adjustment was defined in order to answer your question, whether that would take care of itself or not.
Well, I guess the more specifically on my question, I think the first 6 years ago and 4 years ago, I'm not sure that was the total calculation was how that was included in the factor. This time, clearly, there was the cost. It was included in the consideration of the factor, and it had this significant a bump, whatever it was, on those factor, or those rates, I should say. So in this perfect world, in my hypothetical question here, if you had this component of cost being part of the budget, that's a predictable increment that should be included in the rate, how would you get the other elements or of a predictable rate so that your rate would really reflect the realities of what's happening in this biennium?
Mr. Chairman, I'm not sure if I know the answer to that question. But you could always look at just inflationary rates, CPI, those type of things could be one component. One important factor, though, is the salary recommendations for other state employees. We're held the same as other state employees usually in our salary increases. There just will be a lot of questions. I don't know if I have an answer for you. Maybe Bruce or someone else has a better answer for you on that.
We talked a little bit about that, about getting some data that would reflect the cost of living in the by region, maybe across the state. And I think Alex sent me some information in regards to some of that. And if a person can get some data that would show the northwest part of the state, their cost of living is considerably higher than the southeast part of the state or something, that could be a weighted factor that we could add to the credit hours if you wanted it to. The current formula doesn't look at that at all. The only operating inflation that the current formula looks at is the salaries and wages that the legislative body, you know, builds into the formula, whatever the salaries are. But there could be additional weights associated with the actual cost of living based on data put out by quadrants or something that would be attached to those credits.
I'll ask our two legislative council folks here. They never have to answer a question like this, so we'll see what they can do. But again, in a perfect world, if you could, let me back up. I think that what we have done is we've said, all right, this is the amount of money, and would transpose that into the rate. Is there a way? So number one question for you folks is that correct, or has there been a little more detail? Because you're closer to the budget building process that occurs in the governor's office and in higher ed prior to the legislative session.
So Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, like Tammy had said before, when we are putting in the money for the salaries and benefit increases into the formula, those are backed into the formula and then averaged out between the two two research universities, the four-year universities, and the two-year colleges. If you wanted to have an additional inflationary factor for just utilities increasing and things of that nature, that's something that the legislature could do. I don't believe it's something that we have done, at least not the last two sessions. But that's, we could go above and beyond just the salaries and wages and benefits to put additional inflationary factor into that base funding rate when we increase that.
Okay, thank you.
And Mr. Chairman, I think it was discussed first by NEM after the formula was created, but then it just didn't work. It didn't come into the final budget, and so from that point on, it really just has been salaries and wages. And there was some one-time money as well. That's right. So, Mr. Chairman, should I go on to the last one? So, the last component, which is one that is expired now, was the minimum amount payable clause, and you'll see that all 11 institutions indicated had a favorable response to that. For the reasons we've talked about before, they said it allows them to plan and adjust costs to the changing budget realities, and allows for things like teaching out programs. If programs must be eliminated due to budget reductions, it gives time for the institutions to teach those programs out and complete the programs for the students. Those are the direct components of the formula. Some other ideas and suggestions that were brought forward by the institutions were the consideration of incentives to recruit and retain more students to work in North Dakota after graduation. Consider again this cost of living factor for regional cost differentials. Consider an additional weighting factor for students that are enrolled in the state's workforce need areas. Consider additional performance factors for things like job placement or licensure and exam pass rates, research, graduation retention rates, and you can see the other ideas that were mentioned there. And then the last point is to clarify the institution's ability to eliminate, continue, or enhance programs, so basically adjust programs that were specifically funded prior to the formula implementation. So if you recall, when the formula was created, we looked at all of the funding received by an institution. So I'll use UND as an example because I know one of their programs that was built in, and I know NDSU had some, and some of the other institutions did too. UND was receiving their general appropriation, but they had specifically been given funding for the Nursing Education Consortium at some point. And it was specifically designated for that program. When the formula was created, it all got rolled in to one number. Their whole appropriation came to them through the formula. And since that time, they've continued to fund this particular consortium funding. But the question is, should it continue to be funded through the formula or not? Is that appropriate? Because that function that they provide does not create any credits for them at all. It's just an administrative function of the institution. And so it's just a question of whether or not it should stay that way or not. And like I said, there might be other programs that could be looked at as well. I do know when the formula was created and first approved, I mean, the intent was to wrap it all in, and which was a good thing. But then there's some of these other programs that, you know, do they have to continue funding those forever, or do they have the ability to adjust those? And that could apply to all institutions. So, Mr. Chairman, that summarizes the survey that was done of the institutions. And the again, if you want to read all of the exact responses, we provided that as well for you to look at.
Senator Holmberg.
Do you have a listing, Tammy, or can we at some point look at that, of programs similar to what you just talked about that are on the other campuses? You know, you had the nursing one at UNB, but there's probably, as you say, in other campuses the same kind of thing. So we can get an idea of the total number of different programs that we're dealing with.
Mr. Chairman, that's certainly something we can provide. I don't have it in front of me, but we can certainly compile that.
Thank you.
Further questions relative to the survey? Well, before we leave it, just let's. I have a couple of notes or arrows or whatever scribbles I made on here that, as follow-up. So back on that last page where we are talking about workforce need areas, I think at our meeting, in our first meeting, we talked about if we wanted to target workforce initiatives, that probably makes sense doing that shorter term, not a permanent part of the formula, but something that would be there for 4 years or whatever. But so, and we always use nursing as the example. So when I look at that particular one, and also below it, the performance factors for job placement, licensure, and so on, it seems to me that has the same kind of a connotation, probably not part of the base formula, but that would be, again, one of the things that you could put as a bolt on in terms of higher performance. I think it would be helpful to have the factor beyond just compensation that could be useful and it doesn't have to be part of the formula, but in terms of establishing the rate that is provided to each of the institutions, you know, I think the reality is legislators, that's been a this kind of a move, and it hasn't been really a data-driven kind of thing. We've got so much money, we'll put it out here, and some of those pieces just have not received the consideration that they probably should be. I certainly think, as we mentioned earlier, this going from one level to the next as you're growing your credits, and then all of a sudden you're over into the next one and you get a lower rate, and the Valley City one, that needs to be continued to be worked on by you folks. Receive some special attention probably to take care of that. Other comments by committee members? The survey tells us essentially that there's pretty good satisfaction from most of the institutions on most of the issues. Clearly we do have some of these issues, like just going from one lane to the next that needs to be fixed. Senator Robinson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I was just going to echo your comment regarding overall, it seems like the institutions are fairly satisfied. There's room for some fine-tuning here, but the survey was helpful. I'm glad we did that. It was a good move, Senator Krebsbach. I think it's valuable information as we move down this road.
Okay, continue, Tammy.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The second thing that was talked about at the last meeting that the committee wanted us to look at was the SIP code, because the Department of Education had just come out or had just announced right before the meeting last time that there was going to be some changes to that, the SIP code structure in 2020. And so we did do that, and they had provided a crosswalk that made it pretty easy to do for us to compare the changes from the current SIP codes that we used to organize and sort our courses and create our discipline clusters to the new 2020 SIP codes. One thing I wanted to point out is that the new codes will not be used by the institutions until the fall of 2020. So any changes that they would make wouldn't impact our funding formula till 23-25 because of that delay that's built in. And also our institutional academic officers working through our Academic Affairs Council are already analyzing these SIP code changes, because not only do we use them for the formula, their main use is for the institutions to do all the reporting that they need to do to the Department of Education. And so there's, on the academic side of the books, they're also doing a comparison, but that wouldn't impact the formula necessarily. But when we did look at the codes and the proposed changes, there's a table on there that highlights what we found. And you'll see there's a few things that were going on that really shouldn't impact the formula. So there were several new codes that were created. They were in various discipline clusters, but these really wouldn't impact the formula. They're at a detailed level. They just would add new codes, so we would need to make sure that they're pulled in to the formula correctly. And that is something we already do every biennium anyway, because institutions add programs and delete programs and modify programs, and so we always have to do that, and so that really shouldn't impact the formula. Some SIP codes were moved to new SIP codes, but they were within the same discipline cluster. So you'll see, if you look at the charts, you'll see that some of our discipline clusters have two or three SIP codes that roll into them. So as long as they stay within that same discipline cluster, they can move them around, but that doesn't change the weighting factor. And so those type of changes wouldn't affect the formula at all. They also are proposing to delete some SIP codes, but then those courses were directed to a new SIP code that was created, and it all fell within the same discipline cluster. So again, since it stays in the same discipline cluster, it doesn't really have an impact on the formula. There was one big shift that renamed the 660 series, which was residency programs, and was renamed to health professionals and residency and fellowship programs, and they created a new series that was just medical professional residency and fellowship programs. This won't impact us at all, because we don't have the 60 series in the formula, because that's related to medical residencies at the medical school. And those are funded separately now. So that won't impact us at all, and we don't include those. But there is one shift that would impact the formula, and that's at the very bottom of the page. They shifted several veterinary tech and pre-veterinary SIP codes. They moved them from the 51 series, which is our health sciences discipline cluster, and they moved them into the 01 series, which is our agriculture cluster. And the agriculture cluster has lower weighting factors. So we need to do some more analysis and pull those credits out and see which institutions would be impacted by that, what that might look like, what the dollar impact might be. We can do those calculations. We just haven't gotten that far yet. So it's just something we need to pull out and look at how that would change the formula and the dollar impact to those institutions. And that summarizes the SIP code review as far as we were thinking, but we don't know what this committee is thinking either. So we plan to do more analysis in that one area, but could do more if this committee so desires.
So fair to say then, obviously, from what you're showing us here, is that there's little to no concern about the use of the SIP codes, that they help tie it together, give us a framework, so to speak, for the basis of the formula. And given the fact that there are these adjustments coming, they're going to be modest and may not even need to be made at all, to any great extent anyway. So
I think that would be a fair summary, except for in the veterinary tech area that I pointed out.
Yeah.
And again, we need to look at it some more. This is our first, you know, run through of it. But I think we were pretty thorough about it, and that should be the one area that would have some cost impact, and it would be a cost reduction, which means a cost reduction to the state, which means lower money to those institutions. So we'll need to figure out how to deal with that. I don't know what the answer is.
So to summarize from what you will be doing going forward then, as far as the codes themselves, this would be the single issue that you have to carry forward.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, at this time.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Holmberg.
Was there any thought or was there any suggestion that the current SIP code for these pre-veterinarian courses was off, that was pretty accurate? The problem is because they changed it, now it's going to be lower, but you would be looking perhaps at just continuing the kind of support that they've been receiving up to this point. Mm-hmm. With adjustments, you know, there'll be adjustments all over.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, that's the exact analysis we have to look at. It wasn't that we were classifying our courses wrong. I mean, this is it's Department of Education classified them in that category. Now they're moving them to agriculture. That's for them to decide, but we will figure out exactly what you were saying.
Okay, so looking then at the first two pieces, the survey, it's pretty clear that there's work to be done by decisions to be made by your group. And then moving over to the code, that's pretty solid, needs minimal discussion. You'll just have to make a recommendation on that. So is it likely that you'll have some of that done ready in a month, or is that pushing it too much? I guess that goes into the next part of what you were going to comment on, the process to review the instructional programs. So maybe I'll defer that and let you get into that, and then we can come back to that.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're exactly right. The next step that we need to try to do is figure out how to do this cost analysis. We're trying to pull it at the system level, but it's a fairly complex process because each institution charges things differently and has different departments, so there'll be some work to do on that. I'm not sure or certain that we would have it done in a month. It took 4-5 months for them to do it the first time around. However, that was many years ago, and it was, you know, really individualized at each campus and then was brought together. So we'll see if we can get it done faster or not. But it's a fairly complex thing. We might have some thoughts by then. I don't know if it will be complete in a month or not. I probably will know if the system-wide review is going to work in the next couple of weeks. Once we have a file, we can send out to the institutions, and they can tell us if it's valid or not. And at that point, then, we'll have to figure out what the next step is if that doesn't work.
Senator Cribslot.
In regard to the time, is there a drop-dead date or deadline that the system needs in order to apply it for the next session?
Mr. Chairman, when we put our budget together next summer already, you know, we'll need it then. Our normal process is we run the file, the query, as of December 31st, so we would run it as of December 31st this year, and then do our validation, and then those are the numbers that we use going forward. So really, by the end of the year, it will be good for us to know if there's going to be changes going forward next biennium already. Again, keep in mind the SIP code changes that we talked about won't be for a whole another biennium yet. The cost factors themselves, yeah, we would probably by next spring, let's say, March, we would need to know the numbers, the rate factors, right?
Further comments or questions by committee members? So, and we've asked you also to look at the three-tier system for facilities. I don't know if you had a chance to do that now or if that's still on. Obviously, this is the critical stuff here.
Mr. Chairman, we have been looking at that. We've got what we think is an outline of how it could work, and it's something we would want to bring to the committee, but there's still we still have to have some discussions with individual campuses before we would want to bring that to the committee. I think there's just some fine-tuned details to work out, and including probably some project examples so that you would see how it would work before you would give us your blessing, I guess. So that could be at the next meeting, I would think.
Well, that's the kind of thing that would be useful if that was, immediately useful, because if that is fine-tuned, we know what we've got in law. There's always this business of taking and interpreting that then and getting it into kind of process language, what the procedures are. It could be useful for facility concerns for the next biennium. So that could be helpful to the board in their rankings. It could be helpful to a legislative body in terms of knowing how that's worked and the where the money has gone and where it's intended to go. A lot of those pieces there that this is the first experience that we're going to have now, this biennium. And so as we get to the next legislative session, we should be able to have a better refinement of, I guess, but I'm assuming that's what you're working on, is kind of the process language related to the three-tier system.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, the language we're looking at is each tier. How does that work? What's applicable? What can the matching funds be? All of that. So not only it'll impact the current projects that the institutions are trying to move forward with this biennium. But it could help us with planning for future if this is something that will continue on into the future biennium. So as we're building our budget request, that'll come to the legislature next session. Having all of this worked out in as fine a detail as possible will help us both short-term and long-term.
Okay. Anything else, Tammy? Okay, we've had kind of the update of what the subcommittee has done over the last month, and we've got the results of the survey are in. There's some work needs to be done in interpreting that very clearly. There's seems to be few, if any, issues related to the code, one that we've identified. The going forward, next steps with the data collection and the cost is obviously a critical piece. And the fourth piece to me then goes back to that, to the three tiers, just getting clarifications on that. So if we were looking at those four pieces of work, it seems to me that you probably would be ready with some recommendations on the code pretty quickly. That we also probably could have some clarifications, language related to the facilities part, the three-tier system, and it might take a little longer on the data collection, the cost analysis, and these kind of things. So from the standpoint of your work program, we won't tell you what to work on or at what pace. But it seems to me that we should be to the point where we start getting some recommendations at the next meeting related to code, three-tier, and the other two pieces probably will come forward at a later meeting. Senator Holmberg.
Included in that, is there going to be some further work and further discussion about the age-old problem of the size factor that has been around ever since this started? And we, no matter what we do here, we will hear concerns during the session that it is not the right way to go. Will there be some further work done on the size factor for our next meeting? Or is that one of those problems that you look at what's the dollar amount and then you fit it together?
So the size factor you're talking about?
Is the Wahpeton.
The facilities?
Yeah.
Size of facilities? Okay, yeah. So because we have the one school that's in that particular capacity. I would like to see us get to the cost piece as quickly as possible, because that's the key, that's the big key in all of this. In terms of that particular component of the formula, to get anything meaningful out of it, you'd have to be able to take the weighting factors and what the revenues would come from if that was not there. If that column goes away, what happens to that, to the revenue for that particular institution? And, or if you want to adjust it, is that what you're talking about?
Well, I think at the end of the day, Mr. Chairman, we will do what we have done in the past, which is essentially back into the number that we need so that they're not too viciously damaged by the formula. I mean, we have to respect the fact that they have a lot more square footage than anyone else.
Well, and I think maybe it would be helpful for legislators to, we referenced this earlier in the discussion, if we had the data related to that size factor. You know, so I've read it once or glanced at it once, and I saw that Wahpeton had a size factor of 6 and nobody else was at a 2. I mean, that's a significant difference in terms of the amount of space that you need, that you have to operate and maintain. So, but if we could get that particular piece as well. Other questions from committee members? Okay, I think we will stop there, and the higher ed representatives will have got their work cut out for us, for them, for us going forward here. And we'll try and get a little more in the weeds at the next session in a couple of these areas.
This is mine. I'm done. I'm staying. I'm not on the committee.
Okay. So just say that somebody can leave it as a, if they need more money.